give me a tutorial? That can be embarrassing, right? Never used me before, right? Let me teach you how, right? So I'm going to be, I'll be in the Passion Translation for a lot of this. But if I could, Tiana, if you would please, would you put up the exceed statement or declaration for me really quick? Pastor Ricky had asked me to preach this morning because they decided to instead of leaving tomorrow, they decided to leave tonight to go to Oklahoma. They're towing some stuff out there and then towing stuff back. So they wanted to get a jump on it. But before we get into that, I funny thing is we've been on Exceed this whole year. I've been introducing Exceed forever, and then I messed the last one up. That's the last one for the year. It's the last time you guys ever have to hear that rock music. They've actually removed that next year. I was fired. Thank you. I'm just joking. I'll probably still do opening. I just won't be yelling Exceed 2021. But as a minister here, you know, we always have a scripture or a direction from God for the year. And this year, the pastors in 2021, the pastors received this. And you guys don't have to go over it with me, but I'm going to go over it. It says, "This is my year to exceed abundantly in every area of my life. I will exceed in the love of God. I will exceed in my relationships and friendships. I will exceed in my job and business. I will exceed physically, emotionally, and mentally. I will exceed in my finances and giving. I will go higher than I've ever gone. I will do more than I've ever done. I will exceed in 2021. Cool little poem. You know, it works. The scripture they were standing on for this year was Ephesians 3:20. It's at the end of the Exceed. Well, it's actually the whole Exceed countdown is that scripture. But I hadn't preached on it. I've preached a couple, half a dozen or more times, maybe a dozen times this year. Didn't preach on that even once. So God gave me some things to talk to you about this evening. So I'm going to pray. And then we're going to get right after it, and we're going to start right where the scripture for the year is Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Father God, we thank you so much for this time together tonight, Lord. I ask, Lord God, that you would use me tonight as just to bring forth your word, how you would have it brought forth, how you gave it to me, Lord God. Bless the hearts of those that hear it. Let them be receivers. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, "Amen." Amen. So, in the Passion Translation, I was reading through a bunch of these today. And the Passion Translation just it hit me hard. It was very, very well written. So it says, and it just starts: "Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed in your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will be yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen." Never doubt. Never doubting God's word. Never doubt what God said. Never doubt the power that's working in you. And there's some things that we have to do to accomplish that. One, you have to build your faith. The faith is what makes us capable of believing even the smallest things about God. I had a conversation with my dad one time. My dad was down in well, I don't know if he was down in his luck. He was driving truck. He didn't feel like God was moving in his life. He didn't feel excited at all. And he just wasn't, you know, my normal, "This is my dad, woohoo," right? He was down. And he said, "You know what, son? I don't know about all that God blessing me kind of deal." I forget exactly how he put it, but he basically said, "I know I'm not going to hell, and that's good enough for me." And that's fine. If that's where you're at, if that's where you are right now, if that's where you want to stay, stay there. Know Jesus. That's why we're here. Amen. To let you know about Jesus. to help you develop a relationship with Jesus. That's the at the end of the day, that's the purpose of coming to church. That's the purpose of the call on our lives as ministers of the gospel, because we're preaching the good news of Jesus Christ, right? That's the purpose. But I had to tell him, Dad, of all the things in all the world that you've seen, you're sure of your salvation, right? And get me here. I know we have that assurance, but it's kind of the most outlandish. Think about it. Believing God for salvation, not going to hell, and that's the only thing you can get out of your relationship with Jesus, that's a little crazy. I believe it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not teaching against it. I'm just saying, that's the one thing that you're going to pick up on?
Yeah.
You, my dad, we're talking about a man who was blind at one time. And he went to a men's retreat. And they're sitting around the camp. This is back when men's retreats weren't like at camp. There were tents involved and fire. Like men's old school men's retreat. And old school is like the 80s, right? Sorry, all you others. It was old school to me. And my dad's blind. He goes up to this retreat, blind as a bat. Can't see nothing. Minister comes out, and he's like, hey, and they're just praying or whatever, and minister starts calling out, hey, you know what? And they knew he was blind, but he felt this unction to get after blindness. Somebody, it didn't say he was going to heal the blind or anything like that, but he just went after it. My dad's kind of holding it back, and the guy, the pastor, my dad just kept not going forward, and he's like, and you're wearing this shirt. God revealed. So I'm like, Dad, and you can only believe for your salvation at this point, but God walked you through getting your sight back so much, like he pointed you out by your shirt. Come on now. It's ridiculous. Like that we sometimes we just can't believe God enough, right? We'll catch on to one thing and that's just where we'll leave it. And that's not what God wants. If you'll go to Jude 1:20 for me. I could just say Jude 20. Wow. There's only one scripture or one verse there. Talking about faith. But you, my delightfully loved friends, constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. We have this duty to build ourselves up. It's good to come to church. You need to come to church. I believe that you're not going to get strengthened if you're elsewhere. Right? If you're out there, if all you do is take in the world, you're not going to get anything. Right? But we need to build ourselves up also. You can come to the pastor, and the pastor's going to lay hands on you. The pastor's going to help you walk through some things. He's going to have some wisdom that comes from that mantle that's put upon him. Because that's why the pastor's there. But God has put it on us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying constantly, continuously in the Spirit. Well, what's that look like? I've never received my prayer language, anything like that. Well, what are you waiting for? We'll get it at the end. There's a power that comes from getting that anointing from the Spirit falling on you, from experiencing that Pentecost day. And we don't have to wait around for it.
No.
Jesus didn't tell us to tarry in Bullhead City.
Amen.
That was for them.
Amen.
We get to get it any time. Now. So we have that duty to build ourselves up in our most holy faith. Constantly praying in the Spirit. And then we know Romans 10:17 just said, right?
Yeah.
Do we need to run there? Romans 10:7. I did everything in the Passion Translation today. I don't know why. I was just after it. Faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. Whew! Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. How's your heart responding? When we get up here and we preach something that might be a little bit of uncomfortable for you, does your heart shut down? When we get up here, we start talking about tithe and offering, your heart shut down? We get up here, we start talking about healing, does your heart shut down? Now, I'll tell on myself, guys, it happens sometimes. Whether it's because you've been sick so long, you've been broke so long, you've been addicted so long, you've been bound so long, you just can't, I don't know how I'm going to believe for freedom. My dad had been on that truck for so long that he'd almost given up. He still had his salvation, but he had lost something somewhere where he couldn't. He had stopped believing God for certain aspects of the promises. That's not God. Are you shutting down when you hear about that stuff? Are you not receiving that in your heart? I challenge you to receive that in your heart. Especially if there's anything that I just mentioned, I don't care if it's finances, health, whatever. Salvation, freedom from addiction, whatever it is, if you struggle in those areas and it hurts your heart to hear it and you're shut down real quick, oh, he's talking about that money again. I dare you, challenge you, find yourself one minister that believes along those lines. If it's money, I'll give you a couple. Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, Bill Winston, any of them. And get some of they're all on podcasts, YouTube. For a week, listen to it. Open your heart to those things. And watch God unfold some things. Because I'll tell you what, in Ephesians 3, we're going to go back. This is crazy. But while I was studying this out, and I know the promises of God, they're mine. But I'm studying this out, and when you're studying, the enemy, especially on a shortened time frame, the enemy will try to drop bombs on you. before verse 20, then you will be empowered to discover that whatever a Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. This is verses 18 and 19. Basically, it's saying this, that you're going to experience the love of God. And so the enemy started talking to me, trying to minister to me, that what he's talking about here, him giving me an abundance more than I can ask or think, it's just on love. And I had to go back and forth and read and really pray about that, because that's the kind of thing that gets the church in the trouble that it's in right now. Because we start looking at it, we're looking at Scripture as a whole, yes, and then we pick certain pieces out, and then we want them to set alone. And so when we do see that little bit over here, we're like, oh, wait, hold on. Am I in error? Right? So that did kind of start working. I was like, hold on a second. Let me look at this. But come to find out, like in John 16, 23 through 24, but up in like 20 and 21, and we're going to get there in just a second. He's talking about how he's going to, I'm just going to go there real quick. And point something out. John 16, 23, 24. It starts in verse 20. It says, let me make it quite clear. You will weep and be overcome with grief over what happens to me. The unbelieving world will be happy while you will be filled with sorrow. But know this, your sadness will turn to joy when you see me again. And that's what got me right there, when we see him again, right? Because I started applying that to myself. But he wasn't talking to me in that point. He's talking to them. And if you'll remember, the apostles saw Jesus before he went to heaven. So the enemy tried to drop a bomb on me and say, we'll just read on back down for the rest. Just like a woman giving birth experiences intense labor pains in delivering her baby, yet after the child is born, she quickly forgets what she went through because of the overwhelming joy of knowing that a new baby has been born into the world. So will you also pass through a time of intense sorrow when I am taken from you, but you will see me again, and then your hearts will burst with joy, with no one being able to take it from you. For here is the eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. We let the devil to trip us up on these things. We got to look at Scripture all together in the entire Bible. We can't pick and choose little pieces and say this, that, or the other thing. We have to look at what's happened and really study out what's going on. So in this Scripture, it says that I'm going to be able to go to the Father and ask him whatever I want, that my joy may be full. Right? Now, in God's will, if you are married right now, you can't have the hottie that somebody else has. Not that your wife is ugly. I have a beautiful wife. But you can't switch it up, right? You can't take my wife. That's not in God's will. That's not the purpose. That's not what I'm saying. But when you have a desire in your heart, and when you spend enough time in the Word, God will put some desires in your heart that you're like, what? And then not only is he going to deliver on that desire that he put in your heart, but he's going to blow it out of the water. Completely and totally out of the water, because he's gonna give us more than we can ever ask or think. Anything we could dream of, he's got more than that. Because that's the God we serve. Skip ahead. When trouble comes, when things happen, we need to trust God. When trials come, we need to trust God. When the enemy comes, we need to trust God. Never doubt that never waver, never quit. Some of you may be saying, I've already done that. I've already doubted, Clinton, but you showed up tonight. You've wavered, but you're here. I've come so close to quitting, but you didn't. How many of us have been there so just struggling so hard through it? I've been there where I just don't see any end. Guys, when I had COVID a couple months ago, oh my gosh. I didn't think it was ever going to end. And it was so rough. It really was. Jacked me up real bad. And I didn't know what was going on. Because God, where are you in this? I already told you guys. I was embarrassed. Because the healing hadn't come. I was waiting forever. But here I am. This week, we've had a trying December. Oh, boy. Tell you a little bit about what's been going on. Day after Thanksgiving, my son moves out into a life that I don't approve of. Love him, but he moved out. They're coming to church. They're getting married. Cool. But I was upset about that. That was the first thing. A couple weeks later, the same son, car got totaled in a car accident. Somebody hit him out of the blue. My son, the other one, gets in an altercation at his job, and his rotator cuff is torn. Just thing after thing after thing. Trust God, though, right? Yeah. I was thinking about that this week. Increase got to be coming. I mean, you can't go through that much struggles all at once. And end up and not get something on the other end. Right. Believe in God. What's coming, sir? Because we've been faithful. There's you have that. Oh my gosh! And you ask, what did I do wrong? You ask, where did I miss it? Because sometimes you bring that stuff on yourself. Sometimes. through you know, unforgiveness, whatever. But I asked, and nothing came up. So it's got to be increase. It's got to be something coming. I'm excited, pumped. Heather and I spent the majority of the night in the emergency room last night, and she was hurting. And this morning, today, when she got home from work, she's like, she felt a burn. I'm like, well, maybe that's just you getting healed. Maybe it's, I mean, you know, it could be just that. She said, I feel, and she hasn't had feeling where she was having the pain. She hasn't had feeling since she had the last C-section with Ireland. No feeling in her belly. And now she's feeling. Well, glory, we'll just rejoice for that. It might not be comfortable. Don't tell her I told you that. Maybe. But for real. Look, you got feeling. That's new. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Why not get after it? Yeah. Back to John 16. So verse 23, I'm going to read it again. For here is the eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you because of your relationship with me. Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name, but now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you could be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits. It's funny, exceeding is going past a limit. Y'all know that, right? If you're exceeding the speed limit, you're going faster than you're supposed to. But God says if you believe him, right? If Jesus says if you ask the Father in my name, right? And we believe, we receive, our joy will have no limit. But at the same time, he's going to give us exceedingly abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. So when we put we're finite creatures, finite beings. I say this all the time. We try to assign an amount of goodness that God has, an amount of things that God has. We try to assign everything an amount. This is the limit. There's no more. But God's not finite. He's infinite, right? He's an infinite God. When we say he's a too much God, we mean that when we believe God for what he has for us, not only is he going to give us enough, and enough to me is enough for me and my house, plus some for some other people in their house, and that's enough for me. So if that's what's enough for me, then and God wants to give me more than enough, more than I can ask for, more than I can believe for, then it's got to be more than I can ever think. It's because we want to put that limit on it, but God has no limits. He's a more than enough God. He's an infinite God. He wants to bless you beyond what you can ask or think. I can think of some big things. I really, really can. God give, I have, y'all don't even know, delusions of grandeur. Ask my wife, she'll tell you, Clinton, oh my gosh, really, again? In my mind, I own everything. Everything is mine. Like, it's all mine, everything. Stop sitting in my chair, that's my chair. That's my hamburger you're eating. I got a million businesses in my mind. So if that's what's in my mind, and y'all can say, well, Clinton, you're what was it? I'm in rare form, but rare form is my normal form, so there is no rarity in it. But I am extra. I am extra. I'm a little different. And I'm okay with that. But if I'm extra, and God is more than me, my thoughts are extra. Amen. Come on now. From Scripture, it's crazy. So that's the kind of faith we have to have. And when we're thinking about these things, not be, I own everything. No. I'm healed. No. Be excited. Amen. It's all right if you smile ear to ear. If you laugh uncontrollably, Wendy Jean said short, or Steve said short and sweet, Wendy Jean, and seat back. I was wondering, was it the seat back? Because that's actually, that is the back of a seat, seat back. But I thought, she's, because he's short, and he's very sweet. Short and sweet. You're welcome, Steve. I had to mess with somebody. There we go. Slightly. I know. God wants your joy full. God wants your joy full. God, you y'all need to catch on to that. God wants your joy full. If you got a cup of cup, He wants it full of joy. And you, it's hard to be joyful. Honestly, now I rejoice in everything. Right? I get it. Paul said it. Right? He's learned how to be content in all things, and that's fine. Contentment and joy, completely different. Contentment is knowing, it's basically not complaining when you're in the hard place. Because hard place is going to come. Guess what? It's going to happen. Because there is a real enemy who really hates you. And he runs this world system. But my God wants me to be full of joy. He wants me to be joyful. It's funny how those words go together. Joyful. That's what he wants. He wants his best for you. And now I did, this did come up when I put that down. His best is in heaven. His best is in heaven. He wants you to be there. But he doesn't mean, just because his best is in heaven doesn't mean you have to have the worst of God while you're here on earth. You can't find me a scripture where it says that I have to be broke. You can't find me a scripture where it says I have to be homeless, that I have to be sick, that I have to be addicted, that I have to be bound. None of it. If you find a scripture, bring it to me. He wants you to have the best of what he has for you here in this world. He put a call on your life to help you get where you need to be able to do what he wants you to do. I forget. I think it was John Osteen, Joe Osteen's dad. Him and Dad Hagen were talking, and I could be getting this story wrong, but he basically said, "What if you've got all this, you buy everything your little beady eyes lands on, you can't do nothing for the kingdom of God, so we have to be wise with what God gives us. But God's going to give us enough, more than enough. God is so good." Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness. The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness. That means that even though the world system, we'll call it, right, is the enemy's and he controls it, the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness thereof. So everything that's in the earth is God's. Now, if there are certain things, Ireland could potentially attest to it, but, you know, there are certain things I don't want you to touch in the fridge, right? That's mine. Don't touch it. But more often than not, if she asks really nice, I'll give it to her. Right? Am I wrong? She gives a thumbs up. She says, Dad's telling the truth tonight. Sometimes I'll be like, "What? Oh, that's the last one." Okay. But that's being a dad. You give your kids the best. If they ask, they take it from you. You might go around and bust them in the head. But if they ask, You give it to him because you love him. And I'm not even close to as good as dad as God is. So why wouldn't he, if the earth is his and the fullness thereof, if I ask them for something that's his, why wouldn't he give it to me? Why do we think he wouldn't? Psh, I'm going to stop that. Mark that down. I'm not going to do that anymore. Some people think that materialistic things are of the world, right? Oh, if he's got a nice car, he's got to be selling drugs. Pastor Ricky was talking about that not too long ago. He's got a nice car. He's got to be selling drugs. Got a nice house. Got to be selling something, doing something wrong, being bad. Did you see the spinners on his 20s? Do they even do spinners anymore? No. Thank God for that, right? Pastor Ricky and I don't know if y'all know this, but so when my son, when he got hit, his Jeep's rim split in half, right? And they were nice rims, like good rims, that like quality. We're talking about old steel wheels. Man, you never see a steel wheel broken in half. You see it bent as bent can be. I said, man, I'll go down to AutoZone. Is it still AutoZone? It's whatever, AutoZone. I'll get me some of them spinners from steel wheels. It look really nice. They don't spin by themselves, and they're kind of wonky when they do spin. Materialistic things are not of the devil. There are some things that are materialistic that you should not be involved in. But God wants you to have the best. Because he's the best God. I'm going to point a couple things out to you. The world is who says the church is to be broke, sick, homeless. These are things that I have heard people say. Churches shouldn't be in big, beautiful buildings while there are homeless people. Why? I get it. I get the idea behind it. But a lot of those churches that are huge, that are thousands and thousands of square feet, they give a lot. They're breaking people out of poverty. They run 3 or 4 orphanages in different countries. They or even more than that. I think I'm undercutting it. It's the world says that. Pastors shouldn't drive nice cars when there's people that walk. Some people don't want to drive. Some people don't have cars because they can't afford it. Right? I get that. But why shouldn't my pastor who labors day and night in the word, why shouldn't my pastor be able to drive whatever he wants to? She wants, Pastor Ricky and Chelsea, they can drive whatever they want. I hope they get a Bentley someday. Just drive up. It doesn't matter to me none. Why? Why would it? Because, I drive a nice car. It's a Hyundai. But, I mean, it's nice. It's brand new. It's mine. And so why can't somebody have nice things? Christians shouldn't have so much when others have so little. I'm sorry, but a lot of people that get flack for being blessed and having those dollars and big monies, right? Like Brother Copeland. That guy's a businessman like no other. He owns jets because He's bought them through business. And he's given 20 away. See, I can't believe that man would have the audacity to ask his congregation for a plane. Well, the old one is old, and he goes everywhere in it. He doesn't drive because he needs to be here 2 hours after he's done being here. I ain't going to hold it against him. I used to. I'm not going to lie. I used to. I had to do that one thing where you spend a week listening to some of these guys. I really did. I found a sermon from Brother Copeland from like 1970-something. He'd been preaching a long time. And he could barely pay his bill from this place to this place. It's big speaking engagements. He's got to rent an auditorium. There's costs that are associated with that. And he was believing for it and eating baloney. But look where he is now. Because he dared to believe God for what the scriptures say. What was he thinking? God didn't say any of those things. It's the world says that. There are some preachers and pastors out there that preach wholeheartedly against prosperity. There are. It's in the church. It's infected, if you'll let me put it that way, the church. And they do that from pulpits in giant churches with net worths of millions of dollars. But you guys can't have any of that. That's wrong. Jesus said, well, actually, Paul said that his God will supply all your needs according to whose riches and glory? My? According to Paul's? God's riches and glory. And what did the psalm say? It said that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So what riches and glory are we looking at? Jesus said, asking will be given to you, that your joy may be full. God told Abraham, blessing I will bless you, and multiply you. Multiplying, I will multiply you. We have a better covenant than Abraham. Built on better promises. God said that. God wants those things for you. He has set aside whatever you want, he has it set aside. Amen. He's just asking you to ask for it. Amen. Believe him for it. That Smith Wigglesworth sermon when he was at Angelus Temple, and he talked about there's going to come a time of extravagant asking. This is in the 20s. He said that. And that there is going to come a time. And since then, the church has fallen away from any kind of asking. The church has got to a point where they're like, I just can't, I don't know if I can, I feel horrible asking God for $1,000 to pay my rent. Kids, we're going to just have to be homeless. No, that's not scriptural.
No, it's not.
God wants so much more for you than you can ever think of. More than you can dream of. That better covenant on better promises. Look up the old covenant. Right? Yeah. It has a lot in there. Yeah. Less going in, less coming out.
Yeah.
Right? God loves you. And that God ain't no different from the God that we serve.
Amen.
Same God. He wanted to bless his people. You're his. Are we his people?
Yes.
I wanted really for you guys to know this, that 2021 is ending. Just a couple days. Who said thank God? Why?
My sister died.
Oh. You already have it. You don't have the word doesn't mean the year doesn't mean nothing. It's just a change in the seasons. It really doesn't. You already have your new beginning. Just believe God for it. It's done. 21 is gone. 2 days. But exceeding doesn't have to stop. Exceeding is going beyond. Exceeding is continuing. There will be a new word for the new year. It's a good one. And when we get there, we're going all them previous words. We've been here for a while, so we know about leaving a Jesus print. As one Pastor Tim did. I think that might have been the first couple years we were here. Leaving a Jesus print everywhere you go. I didn't stop leaving a Jesus print anywhere. Live like a missionary. I have to have air conditioning, so that one was lost on me. Just joking. I don't want to say that. I end up in a in a tent in Africa somewhere. No air conditioning anywhere. iPhone won't work. No. These are all things. We don't stop doing it. Surge, y'all remember surge, surging forward. Arise and shine. These are all, we didn't stop doing any of it. We're not going to stop exceeding in 2022. We're going to continue on exceeding. We're going to continue on believing God for the miraculous. Continue believing God for, if you let me say it, the stupid things. Just craziness. Paid off houses. Believe God for paid off cars. Heather and I put that in our, that was, we, as staff, we, actually the first, I think it was 2019. I can't remember now. But we had to, our belief for 2020 was that we would pay off our cars in 2020. And we missed it. We didn't do it. One of my cars was just a go-kart. I didn't want that anymore. So not only did I not pay off that car, I bought another one. But I paid them off this year, like 3 weeks ago. So the thing is that, and that's not because of me. That's God did something. Right? So believe God for stupid things. The crazy. Like, woo, what? You're believing God for what? It believe God for something this year that makes people stop and go, you're believing God for what? Just because it takes them like by surprise. How dare you? If you can't believe God for those things because your heart shuts down when we talk about it, Kenneth Copeland, Jesse Duplantis, just pick up a Pastor Ricky teaching from any time this last year. If you want one, just come see me. We'll get you hooked up. We'll get you believing scripturally why you're blessed beyond measure. Not just because I said it, because we pull it from the Word. Pastor Ricky pulls it from the Word. He's not picking and choosing, oh, well, it's the smorgasbord of the Bible. No. We're getting after the things of God, and we're going to continue this year. I have one last thing. Just a reminder, because exceeding is not finished. And this is two pages. This is my first sermon that I wrote this morning. Yep, that's God. Exceed. Actually, that's Clinton. This is Clinton's sermon. This is the one that God asked me to do. So, exceeding to pass is to pass or go beyond, to proceed beyond any given or supposed limit, measure, quantity, or beyond anything else used in the physical, moral, and I added spiritual sense. To surpass, to excel. An example of this is King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. Let's exceed in 2022. As much and more than we did in 2021. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord God, to go after your word. Fill our hearts with the audacity to go after what you've asked us to. To go after the things that your word says we can have. Let us not be tricked by the world that says that we shouldn't because we're God's kids. Let us not be taken hostage by the lies of the devil this coming year. Lord God, as we get ready to go into this new year, this new time and new season, Lord God, that it'll just be a blessing. We'll see more than we've ever seen before as we go after the things that you have for us. Father, we thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Now, I said something at the beginning, and this is very important. In order for any of this to work, a couple things have to happen. One, you have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Key number one. That's the most important thing that we do here at the church.